Join the conversation
on the Cape Talk app, online and across the Cape on 567 AM.
You're with Cape Talk.
Welcome back to the Pippa Hudson Show. It is 25 to 2. This is Bianca Reznikov standing in for Pippa for the week. And on today being Women's Day, I just want to remind you that we would love to hear any inspirational quotes that you have in honor of Women's Day. Perhaps you'd like to read a poem. You can send us a WhatsApp note to 072-567-1567. Texts to 31567. And you can even call us on 021-446-0567 or voice notes, as I mentioned, just to honor perhaps the women in your life, or maybe you want to tell us who your role model is. You can just send it our way and we will read it out on air, or you can talk to me about it. That would be nice too. But before we continue, it's time now to talk about something that sometimes is not often spoken about. How many of you remember having that awkward sexual health class, or did you even have it growing up? Menstruation and the lack of sanitary pads remains a taboo subject in some communities, not only in the Western Cape, but throughout the country and the world. We are talking to Fem Projects now. How many of you remember having that moment where it happened to you and perhaps you didn't know what was happening to you because your mom didn't talk to you about it? Or I know in some traditions you get slapped across the face when you get your period. I mean, that is also quite a shocking incident. One of the campaigns aimed at confronting the stigma around menstruation in young girls is being run by the founders of Fem Project, and their latest project is called the Cycles Campaign. So I'd like to welcome Fem Project co-founder Kelly Eve Koopman and Leila Bardin-Taylor, co-founder of Boudoir Box, who join us in studio now to tell us more. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hi, thank Bianca.
You. And thank you for making time to come in on your Women's Day. What inspired Fem Projects, and what is the Cycles campaign all about?
So Fem Projects was founded by myself, Kim Vinfogel, and Lauren Lopesher, who are the two other founders of Fem Projects, about 4 years back. We ran a provincial program called the Teenage Health Program, which was a national schools program that was around menstrual education. Through running the program at schools, we realized the need for effective sexual and reproductive health education that is honest, that is authentic, that is gender inclusive, that creates safe spaces for LGBTQI learners, that doesn't prescribe ideas of gender and sex upon learners. And then also, again, the need for gender education and kind of anti-GBV advocacy work. So our NGO kind of grew from this program, the experience of it, and also identifying the needs that arose from having, you know, delivered this program and disseminated the various menstrual resources that we did at the time.
And how has the reaction been so far from learners?
I think that it is a very necessary space for learners. I'm not very supportive of our current approach to life orientation education. I feel it is non-inclusive. I think that it demonizes and stigmatizes sex, whereas teenagers are having sex. The fact is that they are being poorly equipped with information around sex, which results in teenage pregnancies, rape, because consent isn't, you know, a concept that is interrogated and discussed with young learners, STDs, STIs. So this kind of cloak of silence and misinformation around it, but also when they are presented with information, it kind of being completely non-accessible to a young person, you know. It was very clear that the space was very necessary. There were a lot of kind of shock reactions, of course, you know, a lot of like, are we seriously going to talk about that? You know, we have these huge posters of vaginas, you know, and of what your, you know, internal reproductive organs look like. And we talk a lot about gender and what does it mean to be a woman? Because you have a vagina, does it mean that you're a woman? No, you know, so all these kind of conversations are somewhat new, but I mean, learners take to it very well and engage very easily once you open up a safe space.
Once you get going, you know, it just becomes another conversation, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the collaboration and why you collaborated.
So basically, we resonated with the message from Fem. We're also about liberating women, and actually we're all inclusive. So our message was to actually provide them with a facility to offer and make accessible the product for FEM, and we're hosting the shop on our website. Basically because we resonate with this message, and we're offering all the products for FEM through our site.
Tell us about your site and what the product actually is.
Okay, so our site is called Boudoir Box, and we have we sell lingerie. The lingerie basically is for all sizes of women. It's all inclusive, and what it stands for, the lingerie is basically standing as a symbol to show women that no matter what size you are, no matter what shape you are, you're allowed to adorn yourself with pretty things like lingerie. That's the message behind our lingerie, and it's we want to spread the message of self-love. And basically what we find is a lot of lack of education about all these topics, and it's not discussed. And also in commerce even, you'll find that the NGOs work separately from commerce. So it's like they are allowed to have one image and we are allowed to have a separate image. Like we have to look in a certain way and they have to operate in their own spaces. By bringing the two together, it's like saying that, yes, we are a general commerce company, but we're also sending out the same message that we resonate and we speak the same, we spread the same message as the Femme Cycles campaign, which means spreading awareness about topics of relevance, including things like your cycle, your monthly menstrual cycle.
Interesting. So even though you kind of look different, the message is the same. Is
yes,
that what you
exactly.
Mean? Right. That's very interesting. And what is a boudoir box? Is it actually a box or is it?
It's actually a box. Yeah. There are different products that goes into the box. It mostly consists of lingerie, which is your bra and panty, and then it also has beauty products, but it's a platform basically for all business women to get together, put their intimate things into a box, and then we sell it to consumers.
So can you order a box for somebody? Is that how it works?
Yes,
is it like
you
a
can.
Present sort
yes,
of thing?
Yes,
and
it's
are
a
there
gift.
Are there sanitary towels in the box? Are there things like that
for
as well?
For the Cycles campaign, we partnered with an amazing startup called Sheba. She's doing, it's a female founder startup.
Yeah.
She's doing a biodegradable sanitary towels, and we found it very appropriate to include that because it's also spreading further the message of sustainability in terms of what we're doing as women for the sanitary situation. At the moment, most women are limited to disposable sanitary wear that's not biodegradable, so we're contributing in that way. The cost is still high of non-biodegradable sanitary towels as well as the biodegradable versions, making them not easily accessible to most women. And that's why we just wanted to include that, to actually raise awareness about the fact that it's okay to speak about that. So it wasn't a strong message where we went out directly and we're saying, you know, let's start talking about this. The Cycles campaign message was strong enough, but we included it in the box to send the subtle message through that this is what we, you know, everything is allowed to be talked about at Boudoir Box, including your periods.
Exactly. And
your menstrual cycle, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. What has the response been like? And how much does it cost?
The focus for this one is the Femme shop, where the T-shirts are 300 Rand for your Femme T-shirt. The artist that did the graphic for this T-shirt is Lady Scully. So she's amazing, and she's done the artwork for the T-shirt as well as a set of panties that you can get on the website.
I'm looking at the T-shirt now.
Yeah,
we're
both
you.
Like I've got mine on as well. Just
very cool T-shirt.
So she's done the artwork for both the T-shirt as well as a set of panties. So the panties for pair retails at 250. The T-shirt is 300. All the funds go towards the Femme Cycles campaign to raise awareness and help them on their program towards educating learners in that space.
So people can go onto your website and buy a box, and the funds go towards the Femme project.
So there's two shops. So yeah. The Boudoir Box sells the lingerie, but we also offer the Femme shop. So you can shop from either or on the site.
Okay, so just give us your website so people can who are listening can go on immediately and buy.
And support the cause. Yeah. It's boudoirbox.co.za. boudoirbox.co.za.
Okay, so let's talk now a little bit about the Femme Project again.
Cool.
Your name is an acronym for, tell us, it's Freedom of Education Motivates Empowerment.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
How did you come up with this name?
It was very much, again, the thing of realizing that learners in school are not free to discuss their gender and sexual identities, to discuss things like their menstrual cycles, outside of stigma coming in from parents, teachers, religious leaders, other learners. And that limits their ability to make empowered decisions around their own bodies or their own gender and sexual identities. So the whole basis was that if you can make, you know, educational resource interactive, fun, and honest, it will facilitate better decision making or more empowered decision making, again in a non-judgmental way. We definitely don't advocate the kind of approach that's like, you know, you shouldn't be engaging in sexual activity, you shouldn't, there's not no the judgment. Kind of wrapping on the wrist. No. It's more like, this is the information, have the information and then make your choices, and also let that information make you more tolerant, open, and, you know, kind of willing to engage in dialogue with other learners or other people who might be making different choices to you.
Why do you think there are stigmas attached to sexual education? Do you think that parents are afraid that if they tell their children about sex, that that'll encourage them to have it too soon? What is the reason?
I think it is, it's very much a very gendered thing. So I think that especially with young women in schools, and I'm going to use the word women broadly, is, you know, this very kind of conservative ideology around what is considered good behavior for a young woman and what is considered not good behavior. Mm-hmm. So women are still slut shamed. You know, this comes from religious and social conditioning, all the messaging we kind of receive in the media. I'm very hesitant to kind of locate the blame upon parents or upon religious leaders or one site or men. I mean, because exactly. Because the point is that young men in schools are also not being taught about sex. In fact, they're also being encouraged to go around and have loads of casual sex and engage in sexual behavior that's not often non-consensual. And no one is kind of supporting them with those conversations either. So it's these very gendered stereotypes and tropes that really affect the way that, you know, learners come of age into these kind of concepts. I can't really blame any one factor. It's got to do with rape culture. It's got to do with gender inequality. It's all the kind of large structurally violent elements that we fight, that really we can see kind of condensed in the location of what happens in schools, what happens between learners, you know. Yeah.
Would you say that your workshops have a feminist approach?
Absolutely. Yeah. Feminist, inclusive, sex positive. Yeah.
Okay. And are you only talking to girls?
No.
Okay, so that's interesting too. Tell us a little bit about the boys' response.
Well, I would also not necessarily use girls and boys as the language of like two genders, because that's not what it is. And in order to create a safe, open space, it needs to be available to all genders.
Yes.
So initially, the specific program we were doing specifically with the kind of menstrual advocacy was limited to young women in schools. Again, we found problems with that, because what about people who would be gendered as boys but really wanted to be in those workshops because they identify as women, or, you know, they coexist with women learners as they kind of, you know, like, that's how they identify, and then we're kind of excluding those learners.
What we
really want to focus on now, and what we're hoping to raise funds for, is to do a consent program that would start with a more kind of condensed, smaller workshop space with learners of all genders from many different schools. And we'd really like to create a space where together we can talk around consent, talk around rape culture, and create a toolkit that comes from learners and us that we can then in turn disseminate in schools and allow those learners to almost become advocates for a kind of more anti-gender-based violence, pro-consent, kind of pro-feminist approach. Because usually we work, you know, between schools. So we'll do a program in Khayelitsha, a program in Ocean View, etc. But we really want to, at this point, get learners together who could be leaders in this kind of field and are passionate about it and could work with us in developing new educational tools that can counter and support the current curriculum that learners are receiving.
What age group are we talking about here?
Generally grade 9 to matric. I mean, learners are sometimes of all ages in that group.
Like 16-year-olds?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should it not start younger, just a matter of interest?
Yeah, definitely. I think for this particular exercise, it's useful to have learners who are a bit older, because we're asking them to bring and create with us. But ideally, I mean, in terms of us growing, we'd really like to have workshops with learners that are much younger and starting to instill these foundational concepts at a much younger age. Many women get their period when they're 9, 10 years old. I mean, that can be, many women get raped when they're 6, 5 years old. You know, these are very traumatic experiences that aren't being held properly, you know, that don't, we don't create safe spaces to talk about, you know, these things. So we really do need to work with younger.
What about some of, you say they have to bring the tools. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that the women that you mentor share with you. I mean, do they have the language, or is that what you're teaching them?
So, I mean, the language around gender politics can be very academic, but the concepts are very simple, you know. So while language can become a barrier, and even just English language, it doesn't have to be. There are many different ways. Like, we have a very kind of, we use activity, games, kind of like, you know, acting out a kind of cultural activity.
Like role play.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, certain exercises to try and bring out these themes organically. So we're not necessarily going in with a very kind of academic approach and we're going to learn now. You know, it's always in a kind of dialogue space that we make things together. So last year we had a leadership camp with about 20, 30 learners. And that was great because it was a very intimate space where we could learn from each other. So, yeah.
Okay. And so role play, games, and eventually people start to warm up and young people start to, and they, would you say they've been positively responsive, or have you found a little bit of resistance?
No, I think generally positively responsive. Often resistant in the beginning, which is normal, but you spend enough time with learners and really, like, you know, listen to where they're at. And really the non-judgmental thing is super important, because these learners are feeling judged all the time. Lots of times learners go to clinics and ask for contraceptives and are turned away, you know, or nurses or clinic staff will threaten them and say, I'm going to tell your mother. I mean, we know the same thing happens with gender-based violence and rape. Learners don't feel safe to even talk about those things. So creating a space where it's like, whatever you come with, it's okay. Yeah. Like, no one's going to judge you. Is really important. And, yeah.
What about experts? Have others, you know, come on board to help you? When I say experts, I mean like gynecologists and teachers. Have you had people supporting you in those areas?
Yeah, for various programs, we've had a lot of different women, like Woodward Fox, different organizations come and be like, I'd really like to collaborate. Can we do an event together? Can we do a workshop together? Recently, the IJR, which is the Institute for Justice and Reconciliation, sent us their new sex ed toolkit and was like, this is really cool. We've been working on this for a while. Do you want to use this in school? So there's been a lot of, like, I think what you said was very important, that we tend to sometimes work in silos around these kinds of things. Mm. And the thing is that we're all allies, you know, like, we're all allies and we all need to be working together. And that has been happening.
Let's focus a little bit on menstrual health for a moment. One of the biggest problems in rural areas is the access to sanitary towels.
Yep.
Are you involved in any way in changing those statistics?
Yes. So the very first rollout, the first project that FEM did, and I mentioned it earlier, was the teenage health program. And a big focus on that was trying to, We disseminated menstrual cups to the learners in the program, which is a very small, sustainable device made of medical grade silicone that lasts for 5 years, right? So if you have one, it lasts for 5 years. You wash it out.
It's a medical cup.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that like a moon cup? Is that
the
same thing?
Yes, a moon cup is a brand of menstrual cup.
Okay.
Right? So you get different brands. A large difficulty with that is that you're coming in with a foreign resource and asking a learner to put something up their vagina.
Education.
Yeah, and the kind of sustainability on that, and then leaving that resource with the learner and having them take it home and someone else seeing it and being like, what are you using? That was very challenging and very difficult, because it's not as if menstrual cups are normalized, you know. I didn't know what a menstrual cup was before I started. And for me, it was even like really strange. And I'm like 28, I'm nearly 30 using this thing.
Mm.
So we have been trying to look at, based on that experience and that data, what are other ways that we can, like, for example, the Sheba pad, because it's tricky, because also sanitary pads are not the answer. I mean, like, people tend to drop off sanitary pads in donations, and it comes from wonderful intentions at schools. But what happens is that they're so precious that learners sometimes use one pad for the entire day. So they'll put it on in the morning at school. They have to make it last. They go and do sports. You know, they go home. Like, that makes you susceptible to all kinds of, like, disease. It's very unhealthy. It creates the stigma around menstruation that it's something gross and smelly, which it's not. It's the fact that you don't have enough resources to be able to change it. Even what happens with pad donations is terrible. shareable stories, like teachers taking them and just like taking them home, or locking them in a cupboard and only, you know, girls who display good behavior can have a pad. You know, so it's good to kind of donate things, but the whole way that we're engaging around it is still very problematic and very difficult. And introducing a new resource in itself is also challenging. So we're consistently trying to evaluate what is the next step. You know, some places menstrual cups work, some places they're not necessarily going to work. It requires a very individualized approach, really.
What is the Sheba pad? I mean, is that something
that's
you can talk about?
It's a biodegradable pad. The products are sourced overseas and brought here, and basically it's, you know, most of the sanitary towels that we use are non-biodegradable, so we're also contributing to a large amount of
waste,
yes.
Yeah.
And this pad is, it's you know, you can use it, and it's going to degrade within a short space of time. So this is also another concept that, but there's so many concepts going around this, all these different products at the moment that you have to introduce to the learners. It's like there's another product as well, which is the one where you can wash out.
I see that. Now, that's like underwear that's absorbent. Is that correct?
No, that's the expense. There's a local girls with fairies with wings. They're doing it's a local business that's also doing these sanitary towels that are washable. But the accessibility to everything, the education around it, those are the problematic aspects that, you know, not everybody's aware of it, not everybody knows how to use it, they don't have all the facilities to, like, even the washing, that is also something that needs to be considered. So all these aspects are not readily addressed, or there's not enough education around it. But I do believe that the biodegradable one is one of the routes to take. The silicone cups, they've been doing really well, but they're also at the entry point into the market. They're not easily affordable for most of the community. So these are the things that we have to deal with, and that's why we felt that the biodegradable pad is slightly higher than the non-biodegradable pad, but it's still affordable. More accessible than the cup.
Where can you get them?
At the moment, through our website, Sheba Feminine Hygiene. It's only available through our website.
Is that a local?
Yes, it's local, a local website. Brand, yeah.
I'm talking to Femme Project co-founder Kelly Eve Koopman and Leila Bardin Taylor, co-founder of the Boudoir Box, who are talking about their latest project called the Cycles Campaign. How can people get involved? Tell us now. Take the opportunity.
Well, I mean, like, the easiest way is to go on the Cycles Campaign shop and basically, like, buy whatever you like, because the proceeds are going to go to us and we're going to use that for our next workshop. But if anyone wants to get involved, I mean, in other ways, we're always open to collaboration. Our email address is, I'm just going to put it out there, is femprojects, F-E-M-M-E, projects at gmail.com. But I think a big thing for us is fundraising is a challenge because of the fact that we're really advocating this very kind of sex positive feminist approach, and that doesn't always go down very well in our current kind of environment. Let's not pretend that the barriers don't exist, you know.
What should government be doing?
Firstly, not all be men.
What should government be doing apart from just supplying free sanitary towels? What more can they do?
The life orientation curriculum really needs to be looked at critically. The kind of ways that the kind of conversations and ideology around gender and sex education that we're having in, I suppose, more academic kind of privileged silos need to filter down into the education system, because there just are not safe spaces for young women, for LGBTQI learners, for learners who are gender non-binary, for learners who want to talk about sex, for teen pregnant moms. You know, where does a teen pregnant mom go to?
And victims of rape, of course.
None of these, survivors, no one is actually really being, you know, accessed by the current approach to gender and sex ed. So it's just really not working. And I think that's like a key thing.
The education.
It really does start there. Of course we need resources, but it really does start with education.
And then just on a lighter note, to finish off this fascinating conversation, and something that really needs to be spoken about more, and thank you both for the amazing work that you're doing. I love the tagline on your website, treat your cheeks. just in a final comment, how did you come up with that?
Well, this is the founder, Taryn. She's very cheeky. And she likes, I mean, she's pretty humorous. So she's decided to, and I mean, a lot of the things are, you know, be confident with your body. And in Africa, we've got a different type of body shape to the rest of the world. So we want to embrace that. So that's why we said treat your cheeks, because the cheeks are a big part of the lingerie aspect in South Africa.
So you guys embrace bigger bodies, is that,
yes,
is that correct?
Yes, we do. We started with only curvy women in full figured sizes from 6 to 22, but then we also find women of a smaller size that are just as curvy in sizes 6 to 12, so we then decided to go all-inclusive.
Okay, so all-inclusive, all women, all shapes and sizes.
All
the boudoir box. You can get your velvet T-shirt from Designed by Lady Scully.
Yes.
Get involved. It has been a delight talking to you both. Enjoy the rest of your Women's Day.